Got an itch? Cough? Pain? The doctor is in. Dr. Michael Smith answers your questions. You can ask by emailing your question or going to the Healthy Talk page on RadioMD.com. Listen, learn, and live a better life. And send questions. Ask Dr. Mike Smith at RadioMD.com.
All right, so I have five questions here we're going to go over. Let's just get started, so hopefully I get through all five. The first question, are we overusing bacterial wipes? That's a really good question. You know, okay, I have to be careful how I answer this because I do think soap and water works just fine. I think on occasion using these kind of bacterial wipes for your desk, your, you know, hands, you know, whatever, I think that's fine. But I do think there is this idea out there, and I think it makes sense, you know, in theory, that we might over sanitize sometimes. You know, the immune system is based upon challenge, right? If you want a stronger immune system, it needs to be challenged to a point. You react to a certain virus or bacteria, you develop some antibodies. So when a stronger strain of that virus or bacteria hits you, you're ready to fight it. It's how immunity develops. It's a whole theory of vaccines, right? I mean, you give an inactive virus, but in a sense, you're challenging the immune system to respond to that. Is it possible to over sanitize? Maybe we're not challenging kids enough if we're cleaning every single surface of everything. Now, that doesn't mean I think your children should start licking raw chicken. I mean, that would be stupid. So I do think we want to be clean. We want to sanitize to a degree. But there's been an explosion of these types of products. And I remember when I was a kid, we didn't have stuff like this. We washed our hands with soap and water, and that's what that's what it was. And I do think that there were less allergy issues. I mean, I don't know if I don't have numbers to give you, but my feeling is there were less allergy issues, less, you know, kids getting sick, missing days at school. I mean, it just seems so epidemic today. So do we overuse bacterial wipes? I'm going to have to give a really bad answer here. Maybe. That's the best way I get it. Maybe. Oh, you know, there's another side of it, too. We have an issue, especially when it comes to antibiotics, with bacterial resistance. And there's some thought that some of these bacterial wipes, although they do use very, very potent antibacterial chemicals, so potent that you really can't ingest them. They would actually harm your liver and kidneys. That's why you can only rub them on your hands. But they might be, you know, breeding grounds, essentially, for these super bacteria, that are going to be really hard to treat. And we already know we have that issue. So that's another side of the conversation that that could be a whole segment. Matter of fact, I'm going to write that down. That would be a good segment. Just the super bugs that are developing. So that's the first question. Number two, is the respiratory virus that we're seeing in kids today as bad as Ebola? I think that's a reference to the enterovirus. It's not actually a respiratory virus. It does cause some upper respiratory tract issues in kids, especially kids with asthma, and we are seeing it is pretty much from coast to coast today, and it has, unfortunately, I think, killed four or five children. So this is a serious infection. Now, I don't really want to compare one virus to the other. I will tell you, this is just my personal opinion. You know, my undergrad degree is in immunology and microbiology. I have studied viruses, and I can tell you, I always worry more about viruses that can spread in air droplets, you know, for sneeze, cough, whatever. So in terms of how viruses transmit from one person to the next, anytime you have one that can travel in the air and live in the air, that's always a little bit more worrisome than one that takes direct or at least maybe close contact. So maybe in that regards, the enterovirus that's out there that is causing some respiratory distress in kids is a little bit more of a concern than the direct or close contact Ebola. Third question, what's the difference between gluten sensitivity and gluten allergy? Okay, so gluten allergy, I think what people are referring to there is the true celiac disease. That's the autoimmune disorder That causes a lot of damage in the gastrointestinal tract, a lot of bleeding. It can even cause some people to go to surgery, have sections of bowel removed. That's celiac. I think when people mention gluten allergy, that's really what they're referring to. What most people, though, are dealing with today and talking about today is not gluten allergies or the autoimmune disorder celiac. Instead, what they're dealing with are these gluten sensitivities. Anything you put into your body, whether it's a drink or a food source, it's foreign, and it has a potential to cause an immune reaction, right? Anything you put in your system, potentially your immune system could react to. And if you overexpose yourself to some of these things, I mean, gluten is in just about everything today, that overexposure can sensitize your immune system to it. When you eat it, it sees it, and it causes an immune reaction. Now, it's a different type of an immune reaction than a true allergy, definitely totally different than celiac, which is an autoimmune issue. But a sensitivity is driven by an antibody called IgG, whereas the true allergies to foods, like a peanut allergy that can kill some kids, for instance, that's a much more acute, robust reaction that's driven by a different antibody called IgE. So allergies tend to be driven by IgE, and they can be very dangerous, even causing anaphylactic shock, whereas sensitivities are usually more smoldering, chronic, low-grade type reactions driven by the antibody IgG. So you have the allergies with IgE, the sensitivities with IgG. So people with gluten sensitivities, they've been overexposed to the gluten protein. Their body has now become sensitive to it in a sense. So when they eat it, it gets into their bloodstream. They have an IgG immune response to it. It raises inflammation. It can cause headache. It can cause maybe mild muscle aches, joint aches. You know, these types of food sensitivities have even been linked to weight gain, some cognitive issues, even cardiovascular issues, because you're raising inflammation with these. So that's the ultimate difference between sensitivity and allergy. It's the type of antibody and how strong that response is. And again, in the case of gluten, though, when people talk gluten allergy, what I think they're talking about is celiac, which is totally different, which is autoimmune. All right, question number four. I'm doing, I think, okay on time. Question number four, should we really worry about... Oh, this has to do with Halloween. Should we really worry about one night of lots of candy for kids? I think it's fine. I think control that I remember when I was a kid, I would come back and I would have a... Back then, we just used pillowcases, and we would just load it up with candy. We'd get home. My brother, my sisters, we would dump all the candy in this big green bowl that my dad had. He usually would put popcorn in it for, you know, watching a movie at night. But here we had just candy in it, and we would just eat that whole thing. Probably one of us would end up throwing up. I mean, that's just part of being a kid. I think one night of that is not going to hurt your child. There are alternatives out there. I just saw something on whey protein balls, which are kind of like a candy or something. I don't know. I don't know how well that's going to go over with trick-or-treaters. So I think one night is fine. Just control it. Last question had to do with something called earthing and grounding, where you walk barefoot on the earth. I don't have probably time to really get into it. The question is it real? There is a negative charge on the surface of the earth. So if you walk barefoot, you are transferring that charge, and that's supposed to be good for a lot of different reasons. Some people have even developed conductive pads that you can sleep on. The only studies that have looked at this type of movement of charge has been in sleep, and it does seem to help people sleep better. But there's no long-term studies. There's no studies looking at, you know, earthing or grounding in terms of these age-related chronic disorders that we're dealing with today. So is it real? Maybe. Again, it's hard to answer real quick there. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.